This is Mac Rebonics. You are tuned into the Hip Hop Digest Show. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real.
I would like to see us move past to where you need the validation of the mainstream so much until we got away from liking ourselves.
The challenge, though, is still, once you get in that mainstream, to not become mainstream. That is to say, to remain your authentic self, to still make the community that produced you proud of you, to not, in the cultural vernacular, to become a sellout, 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 sellout.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
And don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And, of course, it's E. Green. I just slowed it down because y'all niggas was speeding.
I was just really bullshitting around. I think it should be like, welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
And don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And once again, it's E. Grezio.
Holler, holler.
Oh damn, that's the high teaspoon what's that motherfucker's name? Ja Rule?
Yeah.
Holler.
Holler, holler.
Damn. That's what's good. Welcome to the show after a week out. I know, you know, we've been intermittent, you know. We just had shit we had to do. Grown man shit, you know what I mean?
So
no doubt.
It happens, brother.
Indeed. Anyway, but welcome back to the big show. We're gonna be covering a lot of topics. I think we're going to get right in. First thing we're going to topic and get right in, obviously, is the inauguration of one Joseph Biden and his lovely vice president, Camilla.
He said Camilla.
Camilla.
Kamala.
Camilla. because all week at work, as a white folk, Camilla, Camilla, Camilla. All week, yo. No Kamala in sight. Camilla, Camilla. I'm thinking they Camille. Meaning. I'm and the whole time I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, oh, that's that Prince Charles jump off, right?
Oh, wow.
That's her name, though, right?
Well. The King's English.
Anyway, so they're inaugurated. The whole 45 situation to me has been, you know, tamped down a little bit. I think that thing goes as far as he goes. A lot of people are saying white supremacy. I mean, white supremacy, and you'll learn in the show later, is hardcore and is a part of the American fabric, no doubt. But I think this current iteration, you know, I think it's him. I think it's just generally him. And if you remove him, you know what I'm saying? Removed by the presidency or otherwise, I think a lot of what cites them and fuels them goes away. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't think it goes away. I think it just goes to the background. It's still there.
Oh,
it's
no,
it's just
doubt.
Not in your face no more.
Well, it takes the average person out the game. Only the dead enders are going to be still down, but it takes the average cat out the game.
So let me tell you what I learned on January 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, all the way to the 20-something. You know what I learned?
What's that?
I learned, once again, I relearned that Donald Trump didn't start this shit.
Of course not.
And I also relearned, well, not relearned, but I, you know, thought it was plausible, that the new Ku Klux Klan is Leos, law enforcement officers.
No doubt.
The new Klan. I've learned that. And I've learned that there are a bunch of white folks that really want to go back to 1864. And whether that has to do with Donald Trump opening the door or playing the matador with the red flag showing him in, whatever the case, just because he's the fuck out the whip does not mean that shit went anywhere, yo. No. Law enforcement officers were part of that January 6th shit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, are we in a better state? Just because he's gone?
So, So the only thing that, to me, the only difference is that, okay, something that intellectually you should have already known that a lot of Leo is down with that anyway. I mean, mm-hmm. I think intellectually we should have already known that. But again, let me tell you something. Like that, I don't know if it's 1920 or 1926 where, you know, the black and white photos of the Ku Klux Klan marching right down the Capitol. You see the Capitol mm-hmm. in the background is heavy. You know, that's a high point of the Klan. The Klan was thought of as a regular organization, okay? All right? As the 50s and 60s come along and you see the Bull Connor fire hoses, the average guy, okay, is like, nah, I really don't want to fuck with that Klan. And that's all I'm saying with Leo. Oh, come on, B. You know, ex-military, current military, all involved in that heavily. But it's the average guy. It's the guy, you know what I'm saying, with the fucking caterpillar jacket and a MAGA hat, you know, with his fist pumping. That motherfucker got to go back to work. You know what yep. I mean?
And wait till he gets arrested if he's one of the folks that ran up in the spot.
Well, yes, I ain't talking about them, but I'm just talking about the real dead enders are always going to be in the dead end. They always, that's what they do. I'm talking about the average white cat is going back to doing what average white cats do. You know what I'm saying? Because their megaphone is out of the White House. They are now disappointed. Mm. The whole conspiracy theory about as soon as he gets in the power, he's going to give it to AOC and them and all this crazy nut shit. B, come on, B.
He won't. Don't worry.
No doubt. So, I mean, all the things that we learn, and again, and we'll hear more refrains as the show goes along about what this country is and what it is continues to be is
this
what it
is. Hip hop.
You know what I'm saying? Well, certainly that. You know what I mean? So, but anyway, congratulations. You know what I'm saying? To the new administration. Hopefully, we can at least get back to normal, whatever that means to you. Normalcy. You know what I'm saying? At least
what you're gonna get. It's boring now. a nigga that don't say nothing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, again, like I said, look, if you want to argue over policy and all of that shit, then okay, that's one thing and shit. But, you know, real talk, man, to use the presidency for, you know, personal, just out and out personal destruction. I mean, that to me is normalcy. You know, you may not have fucked with the policies. I mean, there's a ton of shit Barack did that I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Doubt.
But shit.
No doubt.
So,
well, but that bullhorn is out of there.
Right.
But that nigga only was in there straight for making his own money anyway.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Trying to pad his pockets. Stole the whole Reagan slogan, "Make America Great Again," and made it his own.
Well, and now see, that's up to your average white folk who continue to send him money. That's a lesson for them to learn. You know what I mean? So, indeed. So anyway, let's get in here to the Hip Hop Digest. Again, that's been our political minute. I'm glad we didn't blow up the spot with that.
Nah. Nah, I wasn't going to be no arguments on that shit.
Nope.
Bye-bye.
Damn. That's like two shows in a row where we touched the political thing and it didn't blow up and shit. I'm getting a little worried.
Donald Trump is a piece of...
shit.
You know the record.
All right. No doubt. All right, here we go. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Conway could be leaving Griselda soon. Now, I don't know how long ago when I did the topic, Griselda, bye-bye, niggas was looking at me like, yo, nigga, what the fuck? Well, how could you say that, killer? I'm like, you don't see it? I see it. I'm not saying I was predicting this, but what I was predicting is that what comes along with great success?
What comes along with being a boy band? motherfuckers break up and go on their own.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. I don't give a fuck
if it's the Beatles, the Temptations, New Edition, One Direction. I don't give a fuck who it is.
NSYNC.
Boy bands break. NSYNC. Boy bands break up, yo. Whether they were put together, however the fuck they were put together. Even the motherfuckers on the Five Heartbeats. That nigga jumped on the stage like, my solo album be coming out next week.
Damn, first the Fat Boys break up. That type of shit. Yo, so when I did the thing of Griselda Bye Bye was to alert you that, okay, the underground grinded out from upstate New York, chip on their shoulder. Only thing they could see is the rhyme. Only thing they could see was the grind. Now, with money in their pockets, with ego, now, and they're all relatives, they're all cousins, they're related to each other. Who's playing the role? Is West Side Gunn playing the role of RZA and his brother? Is Conway playing the role of Tupac finally getting to look at the plain language of his contract? Is Benny the Butcher playing...
Ice Cube would have been a better use instead of Tupac, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, right, okay. Indeed, Ice Cube getting a better look at his contract. Is Benny the Butcher playing the role of Lox wanting to drop a refrigerator on the other two members? Who knows? What I do know is that apparently, and I don't know anything about the movie, this movie called Conflicted is out, and Conway's nowhere in the picture. I mean, come on, B. There's only really three principal cats that you really want to care about. I mean, there's a lot of other Buffalo guys that we should get to know, but there's really only three principal cats you're going to base this movie on. And if you don't have one of the pillars in the movie, Kurt G, bye-bye. I was correct in that assessment.
Yeah, you were correct in saying, at the time you were saying that it's bye-bye because of the fact that they're popular. And like you said, the money's coming in and niggas is going to be like, you know what? I don't need this shit. I'm good on my own. But this here, I don't know what this shit here is. I don't really know if West Side Gunn is really fucking his boys like that. Like, I really can't even imagine that at this point. I'm thinking that niggas is just ego driven. I don't even know if it's money driven. I think it's ego. Of thinking that, you know, I deserve more shine or some shit like that. Like, as if these niggas ain't already getting enough shine.
Well, it could be ego. I mean, that would be very plausible. I think these things tend to be money-driven. I mean, and just in my opinion.
Yeah, you could be right.
I think these things tend to be money-driven. And let me tell you something. And specifically now, because here we got Griselda, okay, and they reached a certain height, and then boom, you know, COVID hit. So instead of, since last March, these guys getting paid $100K at every club and every tour stop, you know, that money's not coming in. And now maybe niggas is starting to look at the label like, yo, where's my motherfucking money? See, the label, like, well, I mean, you're getting some money, but not that amount of money.
Well, see, there's where the rubber meets the road. Because ain't nobody making no fucking money right now.
One person is. We'll get to that later.
I mean, yeah, well, okay. But, I mean, ain't nobody making no money like that off of no sales. Because ain't nobody selling.
Right.
And you can't do no shows, so they ain't getting no money off of that shit either.
Right.
So niggas is, like you said, niggas is really starting to look at each other funny. Like, how come this nigga's getting all the shine? That's why I think ego's more involved with it than anything else. Because Westside is still out here. He's the mouthpiece. He's the face of the Griselda thing, even though I'm thinking these other niggas is like, wait a minute. Without us, nigga, there wouldn't be no Griselda. Fuck you talking about, West Side? This is our shit too.
Well,
how come you getting all the motherfucking shine? So I'm thinking it's some ego, more ego than money, but money too could be in there.
And that's why I said the RZA and his brother situation, because West Side seemingly being the mouthpiece, seemingly being the guy who's steering the ship, if you will. You know, and Conway and him's writing a lot of fucking music. And West Side is marginal at best. I mean, he can be a good MC, I think, if he worked at it, but Yeah, fuck that.
I haven't heard anybody say he's their favorite out of them.
No. Well, exactly. Exactly. No.
West Side, he make a lot of shit. He talk a lot of shit on his records. But all that. But nah, he ain't got shit on Conway and the Butcher.
So, indeed. So, again, like I said, hey, man, I wasn't predicting this. I was just saying, you know, with success comes the trappings and everything in it, Chico. The trappings of success, I mean, no doubt. So, not the trapping. No pun intended.
Wrong audience, B. Wrong audience. Okay. You're good.
Everybody that's listening to the show, they pretty much got what you were talking about.
Oh, okay. No doubt. You know, some people, you might have to clear it up and shit.
Nah.
Yeah, you know I mean? All right. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, and we'll get right into it since you already alluded to it, about at least one person's getting paid. Your boy, Mr. Lowbrow Bottom Feeder himself, Mr. Bow Wow, okay, draws a packed crowd in Houston, and they're labeling a super spreader event. People want to wonder why people would pack into a nightclub for a Bow Wow show. It just lets you know that Bow Wow is slug, okay? He has a slug footprint. He's going to hold a show, all right? He's going to hold a show in Houston. Now, I mean, it's COVID. I mean, people itching to get out. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers tired of sitting in the house. Okay, here come Bow Wow. All right, he do his show, it's packed. You know, Bow Wow think he the man. Think he, you know, shit, nigga. Then had the nerve to talk about he personally ain't never been sick and he got to get his money. Do we care about our fellow human beings, Swerving? Yeah, B, you hitting the Ringling Brothers on him.
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah,
B.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know how this got it as a topic. Fuck that dude, B.
I mean, he gave it as a topic. It's a human interest. Do we care about our fellow human beings?
B.
We care. As a human being, yes. Anything else? Fuck no, yo.
I'm saying this. Since we make it in a topic and we want to go on a human being level, let's go and keep it all the way funky. I ain't blaming Bow Wow.
Really?
No. Because all them niggas that showed up could have stayed home.
They could have, yeah.
They could have said, fuck that. We ain't going out here and getting sick.
So you're taking a personal responsibility.
Exactly.
Jump off.
Exactly.
For sure.
Okay. Now, apparently, I don't know if Meek Mill performed. I heard he was there with some other B-list celebrities. You know, Meek stay in a fucked up position because Meek having a chance to really up his game on something different, and he's at the bottom of the tank and shit. You know what I mean? He's an algae eater. And there's no way Meek is going to be able to. There's no way.
The visual on that, B.
Everybody knows about aquariums and algae eaters, that fish that just sucks on the fucking side of the fucking tank eating algae all day.
B, but I'm just saying, B.
Why Meek got to be that, son?
Because Meek sitting up there with Hove and the owner of the Patriots and other high-end guys talking about social justice, you know. At this point, you want to up your, even in the conflicted world of rap, but you want to up it to, like, I'm kind of above it. You know, like, kind of like Jay. He's not Jay, but Jay don't fuck around with you know, he don't fuck around the bottom of the tank. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. And Meek being there, it's just like, damn, B, you're not up to the level. You're not up to this next level. Apparently, B.
Meek's not there yet, B. Meek's not there yet. Meek, he's not at that level because Jay, really to me, Jay's always been at that level. You never really seen Jay ever hanging out in a fucked up situation like that. Really out there, straight thugging it. He was never on that level. So I can't see where Meek is going to change in that way. Like, he said these niggas is tired of being cooped up. They want to get out. They want to do something. They want to do what they got to do. They want to try to make some money if they can. And I'm not blaming them niggas. I'm blaming the people that come to see them niggas. Because you don't give a fuck about yourself. Fuck that nigga, that famous nigga. He obviously out here trying to take money out your pocket and put it in his. So fuck him. I'm not going because he don't care about me. So why the fuck should I care about him?
Can I give you a quote about Meek Mill?
All right, what's up?
My pockets got thin when COVID was out there. If Bow Wow's doing a concert, I want in.
Damn, okay. All right, well, we see the mentality is the King of New York, Frank White, then I'm going to... I was right on my assessment then, all
right? Right.
Because apparently the nickel bag is at the bottom of the tanks. So.
Oh, yeah, nickel bag is definitely
nickel,
down there.
Nickel bag always at the bottom of the tank, niggas.
Oh, yeah,
we just seen what's at the top of the tank. That's high right. Hip.
Yes, sir. GMO free.
All right, that's what's good. As
if
we
know, now you know.
As we continue on, we're gonna what do I got here next? Ah, yeah. Speaking of Hov, we're gonna touch on this very quickly. Nas was getting interviewed on Rick Rubin's podcast and says that the rap battle he had with Jay-Z, that he was honored to have that a part of his life and legacy. Obviously. Well, you know, the 2001 jump off, Jay-Z fans are dead enders because you'll never get them to say the takeover was better. Obviously, Nas people is saying, yeah, well, look in the dictionary under ether and you're going to see Hov's face. But Rick Rubin was saying that the art of emceeing was on full display. Okay. And he was like, if you're top of the game, a battle should happen. Your skills should be tested. Now, I know that is just hard listening to the current crop of sensitive guys, you know, that they shouldn't be tested and that skills shouldn't be examined. I understand that. But obviously in 2001, and you got Nas, who is accepting it and saying I'm glad that was part of the legacy, and I put money on it that even Hov would say that is something that you don't get nowadays. Guys are protected from that.
Well, that to me is what started it. To me, that started the fact that niggas don't really want to go down that road, because if you're the big fish, and Hov was a big fish at that time, if you're the big fish in the tank, and since we're talking about tanks now, if you're the big fish in the tank, you don't want to let the other fish try to push you around.
But let me, I got to ask you one question, really, and I'm asking this out of both of you. Okay, let's just say for sake of this conversation, Hov loses the battle. Other than his ego getting bent up a little bit, he didn't lose anything.
No, nope. He didn't lose. What he did lose... He lost the battle. He did lose that battle for sure.
Okay.
He lost that battle without a doubt. He lost that battle. I will say that all day, every day. I will say that the takeover track was much better than the other track, but he lost the fucking battle straight up.
Okay.
But Hov didn't lose anything as far as making money, as far as doing shows, as far as everything else.
He didn't lose none of that shit.
He didn't lose none of that shit, but he did lose that battle, and he did lose a little bit of that King of New York status. Because niggas started questioning that shit. Like, nigga, you can't be the king if you just got taken the fuck... You just taken the fuck out by Nas. He live in New York too, nigga.
Okay. All right. But again, it seems to me that when it's all said and done, that is not like... It was not like... Like, I guess certain cats, this is way, way back in the Mesozoic era. If you lost a battle, your career could be at stake. You know, that was way back, but that hadn't been the case for a long time. And
me, I got a benchmark point for you.
Okay.
That kind of, it ain't even Drake. When that grown ass man trolling ass Curtis Jackson went after Rick Ross, and Rick Ross came through and unscathed, basically. I mean, goddamn, this Curtis went out there to so far as to get his baby mama doing shit on tape and still
Rick Ross came through unscathed, I think that was a benchmark point where the people who are the top on the charts or the radio or whatever the fuck you want to call it, rap, that kind of set a tone. Where,
but to me, you know what happened with that battle? Is that 50 was doing too much clowning. Instead of going in at this nigga straight making records, going at this nigga, Rick, what 50 did was he was clowning on that nigga. He was doing pimping curly and all that shit.
He was doing that shit in that whole baby mama porno shit.
Yeah, he was clowning.
So it wasn't just a mic thing.
No doubt. But the point of the matter is not so much those two combatants, so to speak, but the people that listen to that shit. They didn't give a fuck.
No.
They was feeling Rick Ross.
Rick Ross, but see, to Rick Ross's credit, he wasn't really going at that nigga lyrically either. Rick Ross was like, fuck it, I'm gonna keep putting out good music and keep putting out music, which he was putting out fucking banging music. I will say that.
Yes, he
and
was.
He said, fuck that, I'm gonna keep putting out good music and fuck that nigga 50, let him do what he's doing.
Actually, I think
he didn't go at Tupac either though.
I have a better benchmark.
Okay.
And my benchmark would be the battle that really never really happened, but it did happen, would be like a Nelly KRS. And KRS totally destroys Nelly, but at that point in time, popular rap and people outside of hip hop are making the decisions on who wins. Nelly is so popular that he couldn't lose. That to me is the benchmark for today. He's too big to lose, right? So even though lyrically KRS-One is, you know, God, if you listen to that, you know, but now you have guys so big. So, but the point I'm saying is that you don't even have guys in this era even into that. And matter of fact, we're going to go to this topic right to the next because it speaks to that. You guys in this era, just like, yo, fuck rap, period. Fuck rap. I'm a celebrity.
Fuck rap.
Fuck rap. I'm a celebrity. All right? And with that being said, shout to Nas and shout to the Ether Takeover Legacy because it speaks to two big guys, well paid, in a position, but still kept it hip-hop. Okay, that to me continues to be the dividing line between a lot of the young bulls who don't know what the fuck hip hop is. And I'm talking about commercial rap. I'm not talking about all the underground excellence that we listen to on a weekly basis.
But today in popular rap, let's best keep it real. And today in popular rap, if that battle had happened, let's say somebody like DaBaby versus whoever the next popular nigga, what's that nigga we're wearing the dresses and shit?
Ooh, Young Thug.
DaBaby versus Young Thug. Them niggas gonna end up shooting at each other. Because that's just the type of shit that these niggas do. It wouldn't just be on wax. They wouldn't be talking to each other on wax. And somebody gonna get shot.
All right, yo, I'm gonna get into the next topic because that kind of borderlines. It kind of lines up a little bit. Logic discusses hate in hip hop. Now, even the title is trolling. Logic discusses hate in hip-hop. And Logic goes to say that he, in the interview, he's praising Drake, Blackface, for embracing it. And he says, wouldn't you argue that Drake, we like to call him Blackface, is the most shitted-on artist in the world? And I'm getting trolled. I'm getting trolled because I'm confused. What I know about this nigga the last 3 months is him showing off his home, his billion-dollar home. He has a very expensive yacht and a very expensive airplane, something with, you know, Hammer-style gold toilets and shit. I know that about him. Who's hating that?
You know what?
Who's hating that, B?
I'm not saying that there's nobody that people are hating that, but he does get shitted on a lot. I will say
get
that.
Get the fuck out of here.
There's a lot of niggas that don't fucking like this nigga.
B.
Shit, it's two niggas that's, I'm looking at one across the here on the fucking screen, and this nigga behind me that talks shit about this nigga all the time.
B.
And throw shots at him any chance you get.
And what I'm throwing at him, what Eager's throwing at him, is his art. and that his art does not meet muster at the highest levels of hip-hop.
That's still a level of shitting on him.
B, that is what we do on this show. We don't shit on people.
Nah, nigga, you're not getting away with that.
That's still a level of shitting on him.
We're not shitting on him.
It may not be disrespectful shitting on him, like disrespectful talking about his mother or some shit, but it's still talking about the nigga's art, like this nigga's trash. You know what I'm saying? That's shitting on him.
But why are we saying that though, Curtis?
Because it's trash.
Okay, but we're saying it from an accrued standard of hip hop. Not, we didn't just get in the game 5 years ago. We've been in the game and have always, since getting in the game, measured shit on a level where if you were perceived as great, you have proven it across the board, not with just some motherfuckers like, yeah, he's the shit. And other people are like, no. When you are the shit, you're the shit no matter what. Young boys cannot, they might not like Rakim, but they can't say he's whack on any level. Right?
I get what you're saying, B. What you're not getting is my point. My point is that that's still a level of shitting on him. Even though we're true in what we're saying and everything that you're saying is correct, that's still, you're still shitting on him. You know, you're saying the nigga, you're saying he's whack. He don't level up to the competition of MCs before his time. But that's shitting on the nigga.
So wait a minute, B. So with Logic and what Drake are expecting, not only are we supposed to look in awe at wonder at his yacht, his airplane, and his home.
Shit doesn't matter.
No,
to us.
Wait a minute. No, I'm just saying, but not, we're supposed to look at that, and then we're supposed to say, like Nori, you know, is with this whole Drake is Michael Jackson equal to via generation. I'm saying to myself, you know, I guess Nori and them niggas gotta do what they gotta do to, you know, to keep their business plan jumping. But as an MC, this whole young boy, yo, niggas disrespecting his pen, niggas nigga, I don't know, B. I know what I know about is a dozen reference tracks. What I know about, what I know about is mediocre songs.
Yes.
What I do know about is the engine that drives his popularity is social media.
Yep.
I do know that.
That's the move right now. But Curtis, look, B. What they want is accolades for how much fucking money they make.
Well, gave him credit for his mansion.
We know this, son. We know this.
Okay. You know that. So we give them, not we, we. So the current climate gives rappers credit for how much fucking money and celebrity, meaning how many fucking followers they got on whatever format. Great. But that doesn't make, nigga, are people who can sing giving props to William Hung? Let me not go that far, because I don't want, William Hung is a fucking lottery winner. All right, I'll say that because he's one and done. But for somebody like these dudes that we're talking about, I ain't saying his name, fuck it. Somebody like these dudes that are making a lot of money for getting on a mic whining and saying a few fucking words. Great. I'll pat you on your fucking head and give you your trophy. But you are not going to move the meter as a dope MC until you fucking prove it.
That's the level, that's where we're coming from. Not, like I said, anything you said was all true. Everything you said was all true. This nigga does not pass muster as an MC. He does not. As Drake may be the most wonderful, like King Killer said, the most wonderful person in the world. He may be Mr. Wonderful. He may have all the accolades. He may have the gold toilet. He may have everything. But he does not pass muster as an MC. As a top level MC, does not pass muster as far as for us. He does not.
Right.
Now, as far as the young boys, they love this nigga. His nigga can't do no wrong, and everything he does is great. And
because he makes money.
He makes money, but I will say this. The reason why the nigga looks like a god MC is because there's a lot of trash up under this nigga. It's a lot easy to make this nigga look like a god MC when everybody else ain't even fucking rhyming. They just doing a bunch of fucking whining and shit. Sound like they fucking garbling.
Nigga, Kiki, do you love me?
So Larger goes on to say, now the thing I love about Drake is that he embraces all the hate. So again, now Drake is looking aggrieved, okay? He's looking aggrieved. And his audience is lapping up everything about them motherfuckers hate me out there, but I'm going to prove them wrong. You know, he's doing a lot of that aggrieved shit. He also goes on to say that J. Cole and Kendrick get a lot of hate despite being some of the best rappers in the game. Now, I'm going to say that a lot of this was coming through, and we know that Logic really had suffered mentally from criticism, okay? And when Joe Budden said some very nice, not things about Logic, he that mentally was like, damn, yo. So we know that Logic has a steam issue. Logic has a lot of money, you know, and but this is personal. And I think that this new generation, because the satisfaction comes from how many hits and followers, that when you actually have a critic who just basically just gives a critique of your art and saying, okay, I understand that you're going to make $1 trillion off your next project and shit, but it really is not up to the muster of historically these type of things. And further on, and I was thinking about some things, you know, things is brought to my attention, some things I knew about. You know, me and Diff had talked about some things. Dell, the Funky Homo Sapien, talking about he wrote some things for Ice Cube. And you know, Willie D talking about, oh, yeah, I wrote Do It Like a G.O. and all of this shit. I don't think that these guys are doing it to impugn guys who are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. Okay? That may take them off the GOAT list, but that doesn't not impugn that makes them first ballot Hall of Famers. Okay? But it takes them off the GOAT list. I don't think they're worried about that. I think that any of these guys are going to stand on in their career and saying, yeah, you know what? There may have been a dozen or, you know, a couple of dozen or six or eight records that cats helped write for me, but I'm standing on what I stand on. Drake's going to have to stand on what he stands on, okay? After the fact, okay? I don't want to hear any of this whining shit. I don't want to hear any of this. You know, I take the hate on motherfucking hate. Man, get the fuck out of here with gold toilets, nigga.
What comes to mind is that motherfucking Will Smith episode. Why you don't love me, man?
Oh, and Will Smith's dad popped up in the set.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about right now. These niggas, don't worry about what the fuck we thinking about. You're living a life I fucking wish I had, right? Don't worry about that. Just because I say that your music is not the standard, it's okay. It don't fucking matter. I don't think it should matter. I like some Logic songs. There are some Logic songs I'm like, turn this shit off, please. But it doesn't matter. I know his name, but he don't know me, right?
You know what? I got to think these niggas are bored as fuck. You know, when you're going to sit up there and you're going to say a guy like Blackface has to use a very, I'm talking about probably, we're bottom feeders. We're less than 1% of what we think about him as the engine to drive him. Are you right. Fucking kidding me? All right, nigga.
I guess
Jordan shit.
I guess you have to, yeah, exactly. That's what that is. That's a Jordan type mentality. You have to look for something to motivate you because he's getting so many accolades and so many people are loving him. You got to find somebody that doesn't like you in order to try to motivate you.
So you said it. When somebody like Macklemore says some crazy shit like that, that's when I'm going to raise up and I'm shut the fuck, Holmes, because he's getting a trillion accolades a day. You know what I'm saying? The people can't help but give him platinum records every time somebody clicks on their phone. People can't help but want to praise him. And say, yo, nigga, did you see Drake's going toilet? Yo, that nigga balling. Yo, niggas. What the fuck, nigga?
Ain't my type of hype, baby. I got a man up.
Oh, shit. That's what's up, yo. No doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is basically not really a topic, but an announcement. We could discuss it. Kyrie Irving buys a home for George Floyd's family. At least Steven Jackson says that. Now, Kyrie Irving, I did read, had been fined and dock paid somewhere upwards of $800,000 for being, shall I say, a nut nigga?
M.I.A.
Nut nigga. Okay. I don't know why he was M.I.A. I don't get it. I do watch the NBA. I'm interested in NBA much more than I'm interested in other sports. But that being said, I don't know what's going on with this kid. If he did buy the home, I'm certainly going to congratulate him on that. He didn't put it out there. Steven Jackson put it out there. But, if you're going to walk away from $800,000, nigga, you can just show up and get that $800,000 to many more needy people if it don't mean that much to you. You know what I mean? Again, just not a topic, but just an announcement. Unless you have any background on that, G. He was missing in action.
I don't have any back. I hear a lot of conjecture, a lot of people talking about rumors and what they think is going on, why he's out. But I don't know exactly why he's out.
Mm. Can I be the asshole then?
Go ahead.
Oh, dude. Damn. You gonna be an asshole about that?
Fuck that nigga.
Damn. Wow.
Flagrant.
Why?
Flagrant.
Why?
What? First of all, I'm gonna say this. Let me before I say that, because I still mean it on some. There's some personal shit there, but I'm saying, outside of the personal shit, this dude makes a whole motherfucking lot of money to play basketball.
Okay.
Let's not talk about the owners who pay him and all the rest of the millionaires on the squad. But this dude makes a lot of money to play a game, right? And you want to talk about how you want to help the community, this, that, and the other. Getting fined or whatever, $800,000 plus the $50,000 for whatever, that's not helping. I got two words for you. LeBron James. LeBron James is doing a lot of shit on the basketball court, and LeBron James is doing a lot of shit in the community. Because I think LeBron James understands that his job affords him a lot of motherfucking money, which puts him in a position to do said things. Go ahead, raise your hand, B. What?
No, I'm just, B, if he bought George Floyd's family a home, B, what's wrong with that? I mean, first of all, not everybody's going to be LeBron. And if he did that, that's a good look.
Okay, what's the cat from the Atlanta Falcons? He was a running back. I cannot fucking remember his name now. But that dude done bought like 100 cribs.
Nah, the kid, he used to play for Tampa. I know who you're talking about.
Running back.
Yes.
We got to give him props. I'm saying, forgive me for not knowing his name right now. People are listening, like, I know that nigga. But he has bought mad cribs for females in need, you know, with families and shit. No father in the family, no shit like that. He's done a lot of that shit. Because suddenly, George Floyd was killed, what, March last year?
Okay, March, yeah.
So now that it comes out that Kyrie Irving has bought them a house, does that take away all the other shit?
So
does that take away him getting cut from the NFL and not getting however many millions a year to be able to help?
We already asked that question. I asked Kerr G, did he have any background or speculation why he wasn't showing up for his job, why he felt like, you know, forfeiting $800,000. I mean, he's still crazy. He's still a crazy millionaire, and he still, if true, bought that home. And on top of that, he didn't put that out. Steven Jackson put that out. So
doesn't matter. If he puts himself, if he wants to consider himself a leader or a helper, I finished though.
Go ahead.
And I finished. Did you watch the video clip of him talking?
I did not. I did. Okay.
I did.
I did not.
I did. I did.
Okay.
And I watched it, and because of an experience I had, and not to say that one person is just that particular experience, but the whole picture of this dude who I've sat back, torn myself out of it, looked back and like, yeah, this dude kind of wilding, yo. So I'm supposed to just disregard all that because he bought this family a house. Is that what you're telling me to do? Yes or no?
I'm saying, first of all, I don't know anything about your personal issue with the brother. And number two, I was just giving him props on the act of doing that for that particular family. Now, I don't know if this kid is out there saying that he's going to be the leader or he's the next LeBron or watch me when I set my organization. I don't know nothing about that.
He ain't going to be the next LeBron in any way, on the basketball court or out in the streets. It ain't going to happen. And I probably used a bad example because he, LeBron James, is a fucking shining example of how.
But I was going to say, B, it ain't many LeBrons out there. I don't care.
So I'm pulling back on that. I'm pulling back on it. But from what I saw in the interview, when he was answering the question, or whatever, it's like, come on, bro, just come on, just do this shit. And I'm not saying it ain't like he motherfucking going to a fucking coal mine, throwing a canary in first to see if it's okay to make whatever dollars an hour. He makes a lot of motherfucking money to play basketball. And if you're talking about trying to help the community, nigga, losing $800,000 is not going to help yourself or the community.
I sat back and listened to all of this stuff, and I feel you, Kid Killer. I do. Because I want to give him props. I want to give him props so bad for just buying a house for them. Only reason I want to give him props is because he didn't say anything. Because normally I'm throwing niggas under the bus
right.
for being out here shining and acting like I did something so big and huge.
Right.
Look at me, I'm giving out turkeys. Look at me,
right.
I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So I'm going to throw a nigga under the bus because he didn't say it. So that way, that means he kept it under wraps. And Steven Jackson is the one that brought it out.
Right.
It's why I want to give him props for what he did. But I'm also feeling Herb on the fact that this is a, he's a well-spoken nut nigga.
Ah, okay. All
he,
right.
He be doing a lot of dumb shit on the side.
Okay, see, that's what I wanted to get to. Right. All right. So, all right. Well, jeez, that's what's good. A well-spoken nut nigga.
I mean, he speaks very good English, but he be doing some nut shit.
All right.
Not jail type shit.
Right, right.
Let me just say as well, because this part is not about him. A family who has gone through what they went through, that's a beautiful thing. To get a home where you don't have to worry about that shit, it's a beautiful thing. And I am not going to shit on that as using Kurt G shit. I ain't shitting on that. But I am looking at the individual outside of my own personal experience, outside of that. I would beg to say that he probably, if he doesn't already have one, should get a real good therapist to help him work out the shit that's on his mind. Because as we always say, mental health is fucked up in the black community.
No doubt.
And having a little bit of money doesn't fix you. It just makes you more of whatever the fuck you are. Right? So if he's got these issues, he should probably, him or somebody that loves him should put him in a position to work that shit out. And then maybe he can come back and be a fucking LeBron James. Because it ain't hard, because we got a lot of multimillionaires in our community that don't give a fuck about the community. All right? So I don't want to just, again, I don't want to just like totally throw Kyrie Irving away because he's young. First and foremost, he's still young. There's time for that shit to get better and to really affect some change. LeBron James, in his third fucking year, he didn't open a school. He had mad money, but he didn't open a school in his fucking third year. So you give people time to learn and grow and shit. But right now, I just think he should stay out of doing dumb shit.
All right.
Get that. That's $800,000, my G.
All right.
Not many people on earth can say, oh yeah, I just got fined for $800,000, and it'd be nothing. fucking Randy Moss ass nigga. Straight cash, homie. Ain't a whole lot of us like that, yo.
I better check my Powerball ticket.
Oh, shit. Mega Mill on recording night.
No doubt.
I don't give a fuck. It's a billion. I don't give a fuck if I'm Jeff Bezos, nigga. I lose $800,000. I'm coming for somebody's head, my nigga. Like, what the fuck you doing, nigga? Where my money, B?
That's what's good. All right, yo, let's continue to move it forward on the Hip Hop Digest. We're going to get to the rest of peace portion in the show. We want to say rest in peace to Edward G. Fletcher, also known as Duke Booty or Booty. All right. Those of you who do not know, this is a guy. It is so intricate in hip hop for a couple of different reasons. But I'm going to educate you on Mr. Duke Booty. Okay. Back in 1982, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five record. The message was largely penned, music-wise, by this Mr. Duke Booty. People, a lot of people don't know that. He was a house musician for Sugar Hill Records along with other people. Basically, he wrote the music for the record, okay? But he did contribute a very key verse to the record, okay? Now, people will be like, oh, Melly Mel ghostwriting, that type of shit, you know? Okay, yeah, fine. I mean, look, I got issues with Melly Mel because Melly Mel is recycling verses on records. But see, that's an issue that we have amongst, you know, the people who really love it. You know what I mean? No disrespect to Mel, but Melly Mel's recycling verses. You know what I mean? I got to call him on that.
That's called integrity, brother. That's called integrity.
Call it how you see it.
Hey, I can't give Mel any passes, as much respect as I got from Mel. But in any case, but back to Mr. Duke Booty. So he wrote the hook, "It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under." And he wrote the particular verse, "Bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. I got a bum education, double-digit inflation, can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Neon, so King Kong, standing on my back, can't stop broke to turn around. Broke my sacrophiliac, a mid-range, migraine, cancer, membranes. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge." That's damn. Yeah, yeah. Duke Booty. Duke Booty.
So see, another little note. That's why a whole lot of old school niggas ain't talking about ghostwriting.
Oh, look. Let me tell you something. And that whole ghostwriting thing. That's why I said, if there's only three, maybe four niggas really eligible, I'm good with that. Okay? Yeah. I'm good with that. Because I got the strainer out, and I'm letting the mother niggas go down the drain. But I'm protecting the four or five guys. Maybe it is just KRS-One, LL Cool J, Black Thought, maybe like Royce or something like that, Cool G Rap, who knows? Maybe it's just of that ilk. That's okay. I'm good with that.
But if they get caught out there,
they're out of there.
If they get caught
in the drain,
nigga. Yes. Okay. There is no. But he's so loved by our entire generation. We can't. No, fuck that. He's gone.
Let me lift my eyebrow. It doesn't matter.
If you got ghostwriters, you're out.
So anyway, Mr. Duke Booty, anyway, we're back to honoring him. Following the success of The Message, they reunited in 1983. And my favorite record produced by Duke Booty, and when it comes to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, was The Message 2, Survival. I absolutely love that track. You know what I'm saying? That whole type of shit is a game they call it survival. They run it down to you on your first arrival. Some say they your friends, but they really are not. They
just trying
to get what you got. Only the strong can survive. It's called survival. Oh my God, I love that record and shit, yo. I love that record. But anyway, that's my favorite joint from Grandmaster Flash and Duke Booty. They also went on to record New York, New York. So Duke Booty was heavy in the Grandmaster Flash ecosystem, heavy on production, no doubt, at his time at Sugar Hill Records. Just crazy, crazy records. And the thing about it, when they got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Duke Booty nowhere to be found. You know, the Library of Congress, Duke Booty nowhere to be found. But to his credit, he did receive royalties on the often sampled record. So he was getting his money. So I'm glad about that. You know, a lot of times, you know, our legends, super legends, do things that are super monumental for the culture and are super broke. Well, that wasn't the case for him. He received his regular royalties for that. So we're thankful for that. But when it comes to Duke Booty and the history lesson, and we're reflecting on his passing and what he did for hip-hop, there's a lot of people who get props for what we call the Big Beat era. And that is the era of a Rick Rubin and a Larry Smith, where it was just big drum machines, big beat era. It was largely just drum machine beats. But let me tell you something. He had a label. And if you go back and check out last Wednesday's, it'll probably be two Wednesdays ago, the 12-inch record that I put up is labeled, Kerji said it, Beauty and the Beat Records. And there are three records.
They got one of my favorite records. That King Cut is out of this fucking world.
There are three records that are big beat essentials produced by Duke Booty himself. First and foremost, and the most important record on the label, which only put out a handful of records anyway. But the most important is Word of Mouth featuring DJ Cheese, King Cut. As Kerji said, shout to Plainfield, New Jersey. That is the quintessential big beat record from 1985. Thank you very much, Mr. Duke Booty. Also on Beauty in the Beat Records is another big beat and beatbox classic, Z3MC's. The name of the record is called Triple Threat.
Wow.
Thank you. Baltimore, Maryland. These guys are from Baltimore, Maryland. And think about Duke Booty not getting a lot of credit. At 85, hip-hop is still largely the five boroughs and maybe Philly, okay? Here's Duke Booty reaching all the way to Baltimore, okay? A big beat classic as well as a beatbox classic, all right? And third on that was the Point Blank MC. Where the Party Needs, or Where the Party, did I get that right? But in any case, Point Blank MCs, Elizabeth, New Jersey, thank you very much. Those are the three principal records, big beat records on Beauty and the Beat, you know what I'm saying? Largely can be found on Discogs for a reasonable price, I believe, still. Okay, I already got mine, but
of course.
But you do
a little flossing, a little bit.
You know, picking my teeth a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, we want to say rest in peace to Edward G. Fletcher again, Duke Booty out of New York City. Your contribution to hip hop is so key and is so immeasurable. People just don't even know unless they're really educated about what you've done. Sir, thank you for your service and what you brung to the enjoyment in our lives. Rest in heaven, son.
No doubt.
Yes, sir.
Next rest in peace goes to Hammerin' Hank Aaron, hailing from Mobile, Alabama. Now, we don't have a sports show, but if we did, the entire show would be devoted to Hank Aaron.
Man, please.
Okay. So, I'm going to tell you something about Hank Aaron. I'm going to tell you about most, not all, but most African-American athletes of the late 50s, 60s, 70s. They were the money engine that drove the civil rights movement. And Hank Aaron was no different. Hank Aaron was no different than Jim Brown. He was no different than any other athlete because when King called, son, gotta get that check, B. And Hank just wrote the check. You know, Ask Bill Russell. No, Dr. King called me. Kind of, cut the check. Ask Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know? You know, Dr. King, you know, or after, you know, going to cut the check. So, this is the thing here. You know, these athletes cut from a different cloth. You know?
And those athletes.
Those athletes cut from a different cloth. Yo, it's your boy, you know what I'm saying? Bobby Mitchell. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing, G?
Cutting the check.
He's cutting the check. All right. But anyway, but we're here to honor Hank Aaron. But we know that he was doing that as far as the civil rights movement goes. Obviously, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. 755 career home runs. Who broke the long-standing record of Babe Ruth. All right. A gentleman by the name of Louis Gizzard, then the executive sports editor of the Atlanta Journal, reported receiving numerous calls calling him and other journalists nigger lovers for covering Aaron's chase. While preparing the massive coverage for the home run record to become, he had secretly wrote an obituary, afraid that Hank Aaron might be murdered because the vitriol of white supremacy was so bad.
Wasn't that in the 70s, B?
73, I believe.
Yeah.
The vitriol of white supremacy was so what we're seeing today, what we have seen in the past few weeks, son, this is old American hat. This is tradition here in America. And our white brothers and sisters know it. Okay, because they slip on the slipper so easy. All right. So Sports Illustrated obviously summarized, after he broke the home run record, the racist vitriol that Aaron was forced to endure. Okay. Hank Aaron goes on to tell a very harrowing story when he was in the Negro Leagues. Okay. It was a rain-shortened game at Griffith Stadium in Washington, D.C. And he was, I think he was playing for the Indianapolis Clowns at the time. They were eating lunch, and he said he heard this horrible sound of plates and glass breaking. Okay? And he said that the irony hit me is that here we are in the capital of the land of freedom and equality, Washington, D.C., that the cooks and the dishwashers were breaking the glass and plates because they had just eaten off of them. And Hank Aaron said that if a dog had eaten off of those plates, they would have just washed them. But because a black baseball team ate off of those plates, they broke every last one of them. Nigga, I'm telling you, B, right now, I mean, you talk about standing on the shoulders of greatness. And so if you're comparing Kyrie Irving nut nigga to that ilk, I'm right with you there, son. If you're going down that lane,
yes, sir.
I'm gonna be in the shotgun on that, B.
And that was Negro League. That wasn't a multi-million-dollar yearly contract.
Yeah, that was Negro League days.
That was in circuit.
Yeah, exactly. That was Negro League days. Okay, no doubt. So, but in 1982, Hank Aaron was inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame during his first year of eligibility. Well, of course he was. You know what I mean? Hank Aaron's number 44, was retired by the Milwaukee Brewers in 1976, and his 44 was retired by the Atlanta Braves, both of the teams he played for, in 1977. Hammering Hank Aaron, Mobile Zone, rest in heaven.
No doubt.
Well-deserved rest, sir. Well-deserved. Indeed. So, and I got just another quick rest in peace that goes out to my man. This is Phil Asher. He's a European DJ. He's a house music. He was a DJ. He was one of those maestros who played soulful house, you know, UK garage, jungle, you know what I'm saying? New jazz, standard jazz. You know, he's one of his impresarios. See, that's what they do in London anyway. They don't get caught and just playing trap. I mean, in the trap, no pun intended. But, you know, he's just playing a whole bunch of joints. Phil Asher, one of my favorite guys. When a Phil Asher remix pops up in the Soulful House set, you're downloading it because you're not listening to it because it's got his name attached to it. Sir, rest in peace. We will continue to bump your legacy heavy in the Soulful House community, you know what I'm saying, in which I'm a part of, indeed. No doubt. And two, we're going to end the show with, I think, a little bit of tech talk. The Pioneer S7 is out.
Oh, boy.
Rain and Pioneer are fucking knuckling this bitch up.
They knuckling up, son?
They are knuckling up.
Is it boxing or MMA?
Nigga, it's a combo, nigga. You got that combo jump off and shit, because they are knuckling it up here and shit. Now, you know, for battle mixers, this is almost the golden era here, okay? I mean, let's say you wanted to get cheaply into the Serato game, the Serato DJ game. Well, you know what? Newmark, and I know you don't fuck with Newmark, Kurt G, but Newmark has a very smart mixer out, $500. You know, it may really get the job done if you're trying to get in cheap. Now, if you want to step up a little bit more and shit, you know what I mean? You want to get the leather seats and shit, you know what I mean? Then that's when you're going to step up to the Pioneer game. Now,
I suggest you step up.
So this is what I'm going to say about this. When it comes down to these battle mixers, this is going to be brand loyalty, all right? Shout out to Reloop, who has a quality product out there. We never mention Reloop, but the Reloop battle mixer is just as quality as the other ones. It depends on your workflow. But this is going to be brand loyalty. And I'm going to tell you why. I always look at Jazzy Jeff when he does his, you know, these in-house mixes and shit. Oh, I think about 3 months in a row, he's rocking the old, the Rain, you know what I'm saying? The Rain 70 and shit. All of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, that new Pioneer pop up on the deck. And shit. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, Pioneer paid Jeff too.
Cadillac's getting kind of old.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong, but I think Jeff is a Pioneer guy. I think Jazzy Jeff, at his heart, is a Pioneer guy. And to truth be told, the Pioneer effects engine, yo, it's just ridiculous, yo. Pioneer, literally, they have better effects, and their onboard effects engine is more powerful than Rain, okay? But I'm a type of person, I think Rain mixers sound better, and I think Rain mixers are generally built better. Pioneer uses a lot of fucking plastic, okay? And charging a lot of money for that plastic. Now, I'm going to shout the one to dial. I know he's probably a Pioneer guy, no doubt. I get it, you know what I mean? I understand the appeal of Pioneer. The fit and finish is fantastic. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a brute force type of nigga.
Brute force.
Yeah, Rain give you that brute force and shit. You know what I mean? That's about that brute force, nigga. That's what I'm about.
Fortified.
That MOP, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Fire!
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm about. So, you know, I'm a Rain guy and shit. You know what I mean? But anyway, but shout out to all my, the real, you know what I'm saying, the DJs out there and shit on the Digest text chain. You know who you are and shit. And each of us got a brand, maybe that we loyal to, maybe we not brand loyal to. I'm
just realistic, G.
Loyal to the realistic.
Yeah. So, hey, we was all loyal to realistic back in the day.
Hell yeah. Them motherfuckers was nice and quality priced.
Nigga, what? Come on, son.
Got
shit.
The job done.
We all came from the realistic tree. You know what I mean? Even Jeff. So, and all that being said, and quickly before we get out of here, yo, you posted a cat, a young white cat who's doing some excellent MCing. Do you get his name? If you didn't, I regret that. Is that who it is?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Marlon Craft. Yes. I put a couple of his joints.
Okay,
up,
so you got young Marlon Craft, yeah. And you got a Macklemore, Trump's over. Now, I'm only putting this up here as, again, people love the fucking clown McLemore, and the only reason why I'm mentioning Mr. Kraft and McLemore, two white guys, really pretty much are the only people really coming in with the high heat that the Trump is over, or at least summing up. You can clown if you wanna, okay? But where's the leadership from commercial rap? It is non-existent. And then just, and then I never forget that shit. But McLemore, speaking of Grandmaster Flash and all the legends, McLemore had all them niggas in the video, and niggas are saying them old niggas is broke. They needed the check from McLemore and all kinds of crazy shit. B, I'm sorry. Fuck most commercial rap niggas. Fuck them. You know what I mean? Do we care about our brothers and sisters, Bow Wow?
Yes.
If so, we should be hearing something.
No, Kurt, no, G, saying like,
nah,
we
Kurt
care,
G, your
we
people.
We don't want to see Bow Wow with COVID and no shit like that.
Nah,
we
that's not what that. I'm saying. I'm just saying that, you know, cats will raise their eyebrows. Oh, here go McLemore again. Or even Marlon Crabbe. Oh, here this motherfucker go. What the fuck you talking for? What?
Maybe what, they should nigga? Listen to the record called State of the Union by Marlon Kraft, and then you'll see what the fuck is going on for real.
Okay, yo, I'm just saying. So I'm sitting up here, and again, forgive me, I didn't know Marlon Kraft. I forgot to get the name, but I knew McLemore, and he put the joint out. And you know, and I'm sitting back and I'm saying, yeah, McLemore getting a lot of, now I'm fucking feeling like Logic. McLemore getting a lot of fucking hate. Is he getting a lot of hate because he a white cat? You know, maybe he looked like a Herb, sound like a Herb. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But he getting a lot of hate. And Marlon Kraft, who seems like to me, he's so fucking fluid on the mic, look like he's just used to fucking emceeing.
That's what he does.
Okay. All this other shit, I don't know what y'all other niggas is doing. So, indeed. So I just want to give a shout out to those two cats. You know what I mean? Fuck all that, you know, fuck all that criticism.
I thought you was going to say fuck all that bickering shit.
All that bickering beef. I can hear sweat trickling down your cheeks.
Heartbeat sound like Sasquatch feet.
Thundering, shaking
in the concrete. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the big time? Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week, these are leftovers from last year. This week, we got our boy Senior Kaus and hey. Illustrate Kings of Vice. That's Senior Kaus and Illustrate Kings of Vice. Then we got 38 Special Interstate 38. That's 38 Special Interstate 38.
It's more that Buffalo.
Well, it's us. 38 Special is from Rochester.
Oh, right, well, I mean, upstate New York. Upstate, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah.
We got an instrumental joint is the Deli, SK, and Jansport. Impardo, that's the Deli, SK, and Jan Sport, Impardo.
All right, that's what's good. Unless you got any leftovers.
I don't know. This is maybe some off-site shit, off-show shit, but we still working on some t-shirts, right? Some new shit.
Yeah, we got those in the pocket. You should receive an update shortly.
Okay, there it is.
And as far as that goes, you know, I know we got off to a slow start in 2021, but you know what I'm saying? Like I always say, we going to do it when we do it. And then you know how we do it.
All right.
Peace.
One.
Roses for the OG MF. Where were you when Bob dropped the OG Dead Ben? I was up at Tony's on some what was that? No, is that? Yes, it's Zeb Love X and I'm reckless. I took it to the head and heart. You were back as metal facing, threatening my pearl white Acura from the second bar. Barfing up a master classic, charismatic, disrespecting, trash talk, mask on, mac and cheese Timberlands. Sold the first apple seed CDs at your brownie show while you were saying something of a member like the Alamo. I was yelling every word and never late. And when you finally played, hey, I felt the venue levitate.
ask anyone.
L out of upstate, come to learn a Sony phase one of the floodgates. Doomsday gluing True Grit to the baseline and made himself a hero and a villain at the same time. Back in 94, you had that line about the Nikes on the wire. I'd always see these Nikes on the wire when I was driving through a neighborhood somebody said you stayed in. Convinced I'd found the actual inspiration. For the record, I was not even close to the right neighborhood. Even when the heart is pure, the brain is mush. Thank you for the stories and a fuck you to the normies. Bruin said we lost our Jordan, I would sprinkle in some Voorhees in a great breeze. I have this memory of me and you rapping me, grinder to each other at a BBQ and BK. Got the same memory with a couple other people too. Trading doom lines, that's what people do. You were always kind to me in person. I tried to play it cool, but I was always kind of nervous. 30 summers of guiding the muddy waters to the man with many names. I hope you're somewhere with your brother, yeah.
Super villain, Illino. Chopping records that my parents listen to. Doom was on a mission to remind you that the magic is what matters. But where'd he find that banner? Where'd he find them patterns? He ain't had no manners. My favorite villain is the drop on Victor Vaughn. But every time I hit a great day intro, I'ma sing along and catch me sleeping on the GMOs. Them lessons on point. We share a brother in Curry from the question mark joint. Super villain in the function and his peoples never fall. Thanks for introducing us to John Robinson and Star. And the era full of rarefied jewels. And making use of airtime for making bad hairlines cool. Y'all, being crazy taste guts. Monster Island Zars had a rep for being nuts. Extra special words and a special herb still lingers. My pantheon is Bird and Mingus, Prince of Metal Fingers. Larger than life, he had his own Nike. Summer clear weather brand dude, but dag dome. Food was the anagram. Fresh put me on, I proceed to put on anyone that was fam or lamb. And every particle, genuine article. Okay, you stiffed a few promoters who thought they booked a man under the mask, but they could never tell for certain. Walking the walk while talking in third person. He wore a mask so the charge won't grab. On a rooftop with a large stone slab. Seen where the industry was going and had to go nads to go nag. Thanks. A bar is not a measure. A music doom was doing it's a unit of buried treasure. No one ever done it better. So I'ma keep my computer on caps lock forever. Long live.
Yo. I'm just looking for a single moment of clarity. The exact point to rewind and fix the disparity. To when life wasn't such a parody. And the perfect paradox was ultimately clear, you see. To help me, we, she sought the information. Open the mind's eye with meditation. After the transformation, fly away. Running while we was gunning is why we here today. To be domineering in this dominion of time and space. The outline represents another memory to erase. Beyond the paper chase, it was a case of the riddles. The only bundle that I fumbled was a bag with the mittens. The pieces don't fit in, stand up where you sitting. If you holding, don't be gripping. The audio had me tripping, it was baggies they was zipping. And me, I'm sticking with the riddles. So if you scoping, stop, smile, say hello. I'm just trying to find some answers to the riddles that I know. Another cup of joe, one more hit off the drum. Mum's the word and the word is mum. Marvel at the universe, the message is there. Lose your mind, find your soul, be a permanent pair. I know that God is waiting, I'll get to square in the end. I wanna smoke and joke forever and make time bend. Marvel at the universe, the message is there. Lose your mind, find your soul, be a permanent pair. I know that God is waiting, I'll get to square in the end. I wanna smoke and joke forever and make time bend.
Yo. Captivated by the glow of the flame, it burns higher, faster than it flows through the vein. I've acquired information, needless to say, they see us this way. That's why they need us today. The cipher must continue, yet them cowards won't admit to what they do until the devil come to get you. Split you down your belly like the back of a Dutch. Let them rush. I didn't know they wanted it that much, but trust, there will be no hesitation. Shots fly overhead with no destination. Literary occupation is the pen, but the sword play. Exquisite raw foreplay, like three the hard way. To the one the cipher recognizes as the sun, and after the night falls, he rises to the occasion. What you feeling is the rays of the sun. What type of father would I be to let him play with a gun? One.
Marvel at the universe, the message is there. Lose your mind, find your soul, be a permanent pair. I know that God is waiting, I'll get to
square in the end. I want a smoking joke forever and make time bend. Marvel at the universe, the message is there. Lose your mind, find your soul, be a permanent pair. I know that God is waiting, all debts are square in the end. I want a smoking joke forever and make time bend.
Black hoodie rap shit.
Me too.
Yo, yo, cut the check, nigga. Yeah. Hey, yo, I spent the whole day in the kitchen. It's money rap, watch the paper stack. Caggy living, bring the 80s back. Wild style connections, spend the time in session. Yo, choose your weapon, yo, get directions, no question. Napoleon complex, yo, you short tempered. Insult the family business, the fam's living. Bear witness, all of your two top villains. Yo, dice game killers, my role was just iller. Malcolm X architecture, power connector. The expert at the podium, slang a lecture. Niggas at the front talk all loud and extra. Time keeps slipping, but you can feel the pressure. New Year's Eve, car keys, roll up the sleeves. Yo, black Cheryl Teagues, new face on the scene. The mezzanine, yo, pleasant things hit the scene. Yo, fly regal shit like a king, we doing things.
Yo, these streets, niggas know who the team to be. Yo, truck jewel shit, complete rock the beat. Yo, niggas claim legend, but can't catch the beat. Yo, fuckin' with my cash, your face can get. Yo, in the streets, niggas know who the team to be. Yo, truck jewel shit, complete rock the beat. Yo, niggas claim legend, but can't catch the beat. Yo, fuckin' with my cash, your face can get.
Yo, out of mind, I ain't got the time. Out of sight, out of mind, show them how to rhyme. Show them how to make beats with the grit and the grime. Activate something creative inside. Let the pen slide, cross the page. Only the brave got the right balance to fade the masquerade. Rip the rough record, the raw, relentless. Barrage of the hardcore, swing for the fences. Undeniable style from every angle. Hits you with the newfangled. Like Andre 3000 came through. Life ain't a movie, but it feel like one. Joaquin dancing on the steps look like fun. Yeah, baby. Be silhouette like punt, sucking the nun. Pure lounge used to be bar none. Kev Brown now, till forever is on one. Talk behind my back all you want, I'm in the front.
Yo, in the streets, niggas know we the team to be. Yo, truck jewel shit, complete rock the beat. Yo, niggas claim legend, but can't catch the beat. Yo, fuckin' with my cash, your face can get. Yo, in the streets, niggas know we the team to be. Yo, truck jewel shit, complete rock the beat. Yo, niggas claim legend, but can't catch the beat. Yo, fuckin' with my cash, your face can get.
You're gonna rock
just now.
When you do it,
every time.
Show and prove with a dominant rhyme.
Hey yo, stamina, stamina, that's what I approach the mic with. I don't be in the club on some pants too tight shit. The only thing that's tight's the music of the Black Gestapo. We rockin' in Japan and sons be like, arigato. That's merci bien for all your muchas gracias. Nobody does this quite the way the Black Gestapo posse does. Play this shit, I guarantee you'll love what a body does. Woo. Introducing raps, golden warriors. Standing strong, iron like a lion in Zion. I keep my style multiplying in the science of rhyming and designing. Shining like a constellation up against a clear black night. Y'all niggas do a lot of barking, but you fear axe bite. Oh no, your whole style's a no-go. And DJs won't even accept your free promo. And don't come up to me with them so-so flows. Cause I'll break your motherfucking no-no-no's. That's how it goes. Me and therapy's the real, y'all supposers. You should take a dose of this fly prescription. Got a trailer load of gals going into conniption. You need me to explain, I mean giggles and hissy fits. A party with no girls, only niggas that sissy shit. I spread shots that keep the ghetto red hot. I'm talking about the lead butt, some shit to fill your head up. So get up, stand up, get up for your right to get down. Acrobatic and Black Gestapo's bringing that hit sound. When you gonna rock?
Just now.
When you do it?
Every time.
Show improve with a dominant rhyme.
Yo, I ain't waiting for no handout. Make every swing a standout. Catch a pop fly, and then I throw your man out. Trying to steal home, bang him in the back of the dome. And spit immaculate home to leave a crack in his comb. Black Gestapo, rack ribs on them dips, you running on stop. And yeah, I got mad records, just like your grandpa. The difference is he keep them by rocking chairs and boxes. It never be a chop them shit so sick that it's obnoxious. You a son of a second place with guns in your waist. And all I got's a belt, face to face, you wait for help. I do for self like Apache with a mountain bike on Rap City. That ain't gangsta, bitch, that's a pity. And petty like peddling bass when unready.
Yeah. I'm hype as any hater, get you in the beat already. Don't act like you ain't even knowing the drill. Don't even head for the hills, you overrent for real. Yo, act, what's the deal? Got a crush and leave craters. Niggas talk Kane and Biz on a tape like the vapors. My man Maul got a hater, ain't stand with the flavors. 10 cents flying off the fucking rack and all of that. So fuck playing dudes when you need to pay attention. We got something for you, shoot the gift with stage presence. Half the industry is horseshit as a centaur. The other half couldn't tell you what the fuck they there for. Therefore, snooze when MCs put them Xanny bars. Trying to hold on like handlebars, or we can handle y'all. Easily, I freeze them C's like I'm Jack Frost. And hack off they writing arm and feed it to my dog, Jack Frost.
Another book, another what? All I wanna do is get paid. Motown, don't stop.
Oh, yeah.